Hey, welcome to Snip, Sip, and Repeat. This is Sumner, your host. I hosted an episode a little while ago where I learned a little bit about wine with Jonathan Alsop at the Boston Wine School. And I thought it'd be fun to have an episode where we go over some wines for the holiday season, because if you're like me, you probably haven't gotten all of your gifts yet. And we want to give you a little bit of a heads up on what kind of wines are out there that we recommend at Wine Insiders that you could bring either to an event or as a gift as well. And so joining me today is our in-house sommelier, Ferdy. Welcome, Ferdy.
Hi, Sumner, and hello, everyone. Very happy to be here and talk about wine with you.
Awesome. Yeah, me too. Yeah, this is exciting. This is we've worked together for a while. This is the first time we've really like talked together.
Isn't it so funny how that works sometimes?
I know, like it's interesting working in a remote environment. So Ferdy, I figure before we get into the wines, you know, this is the holiday season. Everybody's celebrating, you know, whether it's Christmas, Kwanzaa, Boxing Day for some, New Year's, and so on. What are some of your holiday plans that you have?
Well, my biggest dream was to go back home and see my family, but that can't happen right now. Yeah. So if you have a little sad violin music you can insert to this, it would be great. But lucky for me, I have a big extended American family here. So we're all going to get together. It's going to be a smaller group, you know, due to the times. But we all love to drink. We all love to eat. We all love to talk about food. We all get really competitive over backgammon games. So it's going to be a fun Christmas and holiday season filled with food, good wine, and lots of playtime.
Oh, backgammon. Yeah, very competitive backgammon games. That's I haven't played backgammon in a while. That's a lot of fun.
We call it. They call it Tavli, which is the original Babylonian name for the game. And I learned the game here in the States. Like, I never played before.
Right.
But if our listeners, if any of you are into backgammon, you'll understand what I'm saying when I say that it gets really competitive. It gets really ugly. Like, you can really trick players into just stay in confinement for a long time while you roll your dice. And if you're lucky with the dice, it's a perfect game.
That was one of those games that my dad taught me years ago. And at first it was like, oh yeah, this will be a fun game to play. And then I quickly learned that it was that he knew all the strategy that I didn't know. And then he would basically win and be like, oh cool, that was fun.
Oh, I had to go and look at, learn about strategy, because I am very competitive. So I don't want to lose. Even if I'm playing against my mother, I don't want to lose. So for me, it was, I need to learn this, because I have to dominate the Americans at this game. So, but I lose a lot.
Well, they're, I was going to say, good. So the good thing is that when you do get to go home, now just bring backgammon with you. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, I just learned this new game, you know, and and completely dominate with backgammon. That's awesome. That's a lot
this
of fun.
This is what we do there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're more sophisticated than you think. That's awesome. Yeah. And I will say, like, my family is somewhat close by. I'm from the LA area, so I am going to go see them, which is nice. I do enjoy hanging out with friends, though. Like, I know I've had a couple times where certain holidays where that's where certain friends that aren't here anymore or don't live like in Southern California come and visit. And it's like, oh, well, let's go, you know, let's go get a drink real quick at a bar nearby, or like, let's go hang out. Or sometimes, like, this is a little bit later for right now, but like Friendsgiving, for instance, that kind of thing. And so having certain holiday events with friends also is super fun to do. Yeah, I mean, I think getting together with like loved ones and people that you care about doing fun stuff. I mean, that's the most important thing. So.
Yeah, that's the best part of the holidays. And hopefully by the end of this episode, you will have lots of wine ideas of what to bring or what to gift.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And because, you know, we want to make sure that you, the listener, come prepared with the best wine possible. We're here to help you. That's what we're going to do today. So I figure, why don't we go ahead and get started with the first wine here. And this wine is from Spain. It's called a Toro Loco Cava Brut. And you're going to hear me butcher a lot of names today. But I saw also that it's used, there is a certain method that's used in making this called the Nettaro Tradicional.
Mm-hmm. So traditional method or Champenois method or Metodo Tradizionale, how we say in Italy. And that's what makes cava as a great alternative to champagne. Let's call cava more like a budget friendly champagne because it's made exactly like champagne. I love drinking cava. It's such an easy to drink wine. It's fun, and the taste is awesome. So I picked a cava because during the holidays, one bottle of bubbly is never enough. Despite the number in your group, like one bottle is never enough. So you want to buy something that's, you know, everybody has its own budget, and cava offers a lot of value for the money. So it's the most bang for the buck. It is made, so this traditional method, what it means is that obviously there are two fermentations in order to make a sparkling wine. The first one is the converting grape juice into wine. Right. And then the second one happens directly in the bottle. So the bottle that you have in front of you, the wine was fermented in this bottle. So what they do is that they fill the bottle with distilled wine to a certain level. And then they add what the French call liqueur de triage, which is a mix of yeast and sugar.
Gotcha.
And then they put a crown cap, and they let the second fermentation happen in the bottle. So what happens is that the yeast eats the sugar, turns the sugar into alcohol, and then a byproduct of that of this fermentation is CO2. So because this is anaerobic, so there is no oxygen in the bottle, the CO2 is forced to incorporate into the wine. So you get this natural effervescent of the wine. The wine gets super bubbly. Then right before it's sold to you, they do a process called disgorgement, which means that they pop the crown open and let the yeast, which is not a pleasant thing to find in your glass. They let that shoot out. They top the wine with a little bit more wine that's not mixed with yeast. They bottle it. And they'll ship it to you. And that's because of the yeastiness, because of that contact with yeast, you get those like brioche aromas, that freshly baked croissant aroma. This one in particular, because it spends 9 months, so there's quite a long time spent on the lees. When I smell it, it reminds me a lot of a key lime pie, because it's citrusy, it's creamy, there's that nice baked element of the crust. On the nose, citrusy, creamy, toasty, and then the palate is fresh. The bubbles are very consistent and tiny. Like you could see them, especially if you have a flute-shaped glass, which are so festive, you see all these tiny bubbles come up to the surface. And then every time they pop right at the surface, you get this burst of like citrusy flavors, which is lovely.
Oh yeah, I should.
You should open yours and taste it.
All right, here we go.
Pop it. Nice.
Very nice. Always fun to do that.
When you study as a sommelier, they teach you how to open a bottle of champagne or sparkling wine in general without making any sounds.
Oh.
And I personally hate that.
That's a bummer.
There's one thing I love is that popping sound. So I always make the pop sound. So for you at home listening, pop that bottle. Like there's nothing more festive than that pop to me. It's like the best sign of the celebration can start. Like it's almost like the gunshot at the beginning of a race. Like you need that.
Yeah, there's never a movie where they have champagne and they're like secretly trying to open a bottle quietly. Mm-hmm. It's always a big celebration. Like that pop is like, now it's time to celebrate. Now you can everybody can relax. Everybody get ready to relax and have a good
time. Exactly. You know what they say? They say it needs to be as silent as a nun's fart.
Oh, terrible.
to which I always say, I would never be that kind of a nun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's so interesting. I wonder, do they say that because like you're in a restaurant and you're trying to be quiet, mm-hmm. I guess? Oh, okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to disrupt the ambience, the atmosphere. But I'm not in a restaurant. I'm at home with my friends and family. I want that to be loud.
Exactly. Oh no, that makes total sense. So with that, I'm gonna try it now. And I'm just looking at it's a beautiful light kind of golden color, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the bubbles are very elegant, which is like you were talking about earlier. And so here we go. Oh man, that's so nice. You know what it made me feel like? It made me feel like I just very in slow motion fell into a very comfortable bed. And then like a very comfortable blanket went over me. And it was like in the countryside somewhere. That's like beautiful. not only is it like, you know, a celebratory wine, also that is like red carpet wine. That is really nice. Like it's not, the bubbles are not coarse at all. They're very velvety. And the flavors are just, it just does such a good job. This is great. And the other thing I was going to say too, it's not a champagne, and that's kind of great because everybody would bring champagne. Like there's nothing mm-hmm. interesting about, I mean, champagne is great. It's great to bring champagne, but it always makes a big difference if you bring something a little bit different to a party.
Exactly.
And especially with the name Toro Loco, like it's going to stand out.
The crazy bull,
you know? But it's, mm-hmm. but wow, what a nice experience. That is like exactly. a very, very nice experience. Like I could imagine bringing this even to like some like in-laws or certain family members that you're, you know, like, you know that they like wine, but they're not sure what they think about you. This is going to be something that's like, oh, they brought that. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Interesting.
It will show that you did your research.
Absolutely.
You could take advantage of a good deal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can appreciate value. So like instead of dropping a lot of money on an expensive bottle of champagne, I brought something that's more budget friendly. It's more affordable. It's easier to drink. It's not as serious as champagne. Champagne is very serious. And I love champagne.
Yeah.
But I do like a wine that's less serious. It's a little bit more, you know, out there, easy to drink, approachable. For everybody. And also, you don't have to think about it too much. You don't have to think about, this needs to be served at a certain temperature of a certain foods. Like this is a very food friendly kind of wine. There's the acidity, right? And it's high enough to cover most foods. It's not on the sweeter side. It's like right.
Yeah.
Perfect. There's that little hint of sweetness at the end. The bubbles are tiny enough to be distribute the fat of food throughout your entire palate. Then the second sip is almost like your palate cleanser. So it's a wine that does the job basically, and it does it really well.
This really, it makes you feel like you're being taken care of as opposed to you like having to work with it.
This is doing
a lot of work for you, which is really
exactly
nice.
That's exactly what wine should be feeling like. Wine should be taking care of you. You not should be taking care of the wine. The one thing that you're going to hear me say a lot about these wines is balance.
Yeah.
So this is a very balanced wine, and balance means versatile to me. Like a wine that it's very balanced means it's perfect to be paired with with a wide range of foods. Like when I say balance, I say medium everything, like medium acid. If it's a red, medium tannins, medium acidity, medium alcohol levels, medium mm-hmm. sweetness. Like everything medium means wider range of pairing possibilities.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wish it was New Year's right now. That would be nice. I feel like this would pair really well for the New Year's. Well, awesome. Ferdy, do you feel like going to checking out the next wine?
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite, actually.
Yeah, if you want to introduce this, because I'm down to introduce it, but I'm also down to hear how it's pronounced correctly.
Okay. So from Spain, we're taking a trip down south and we're going all the way to South Africa. And we are tasting a Chenin Blanc, which is the most popular grape in South Africa, the most widely planted grape in South Africa. This is made by Radford Dale. It's called Vinum. The grape is Chenin Blanc. For our listeners, if you haven't heard the podcast that our friend Kristen made interviewing Alex Dale, who's the winemaker for this beautiful Chenin Blanc, you should definitely give that episode a listen, because Alex Dale is a pioneer in sustainability. These wines are crafted with so much passion for winemaking, so much care for the terroir, so much care for the fruit itself. Big proponent of sustainability. As you can see it on the neck of the bottle here, it says, integrity and sustainability certified. So that, for your health conscious friends, for your environmentally conscious friends, this is the perfect wine to bring. Let's talk about South Africa, because how often do you get to drink a wine that comes from so far away, as far as South Africa? First off, South Africa belongs to the New World, but South Africa is not the new kid on the block. So we know exactly when their first wine was made, which is 1659.
Okay.
And that's because of the Dutch. So the Dutch were the first to plant grapes in South Africa, because for them, South Africa was considered a refreshment station for their ships on the way to the Indies.
Oh, right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So they had this refreshment station, and wine was planted there because at the time it was believed that wine could cure scurvy.
Really?
So they had the sailors like stop in South Africa and get cured and then proceed to the Indies.
I imagine that's a good excuse for drunken sailors to be like, exactly. Look, I'm trying to get rid of the scurvy. I'm sick.
Let's get some wine. So that this commander, his name was Jan van Riebeck, planted the first grapes there, and he brought them from, he brought clippings from France, from Spain, from Italy, but the majority was from France. And this Chenin Blanc is a native grape of the Loire Valley, but there's more Chenin Blanc planted in South Africa than in France. They really love this grape. This is a special grape for wine. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite because it's a high acid and high sugar grape, which means that you can make anything with it. You can make sparkling wines. You can make still wines. You can make dessert wines, because it could either be very acidic or you can make wines that are very sweet depending on when you pick the grapes.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's a fairly neutral grape. It doesn't have a lot of intense aromas, so you can either oak it, so put it in barrels, or you can have a stainless steel, which would be a more of a fresh, citrusy, bright kind of wine, or you can have it a little bit more rich and buttery. So okay. It's a very playful grape. You could do a lot with it. So this one, when I smelled it for the first time, and that's why I love it so much.
And this time I got ready. I have my glass at the same time as you do.
Let's smell it together.
Okay.
So to me, this smells like a serious wine. Mm-hmm. I like to smell all my wines blind, so not knowing what's in the bottle at first.
Yeah.
So I usually have somebody pour me the wines ahead of time. So when I smell this for the first time, it smelled very sophisticated. It smelled like a lot of attention went into making this wine.
Absolutely.
And it reminded me of a very expensive white Burgundy, alongside the fruit, which for me is more of a yellow apple, some stone fruit, some preserved lemons, as far as fruit goes. I smell a lot of what we call secondary aromas. So let's see if you can smell some of this. I smelled truffles, mushrooms, honey, beeswax, some butterscotch. This is a mix of aromas that could come from the barrel aging, and this wine is oaked for 10 months. So you do get a little bit of vanilla, butterscotch, and cream.
Yeah, I could definitely smell like the vanilla in there. I like how you said that it's like a professional smelling wine, because honestly, I feel like this is a compliment actually to the wine. But the first thing I smelt was like, oh, important board meeting. Like that was my first thought with
That's
smelling
good.
This wine. Yeah,
because at this price, to have a wine that smells and tastes this way, this is one of those bottles that you bring to your friends to impress them with your choices. Like I bring a serious wine for a casual dinner, which is the best of the best.
Yeah. And well, and I like also too, that like there's also a bit of a story to this one as well, with it being a more eco-friendly wine. And even I was looking at the description of this wine. It looks like that Radford Dale focuses on environment, ethics, social justice, and South Africa's broad-based Black economic empowerment, which is really cool. It's a well-built wine. I don't have a better way of saying it, mm-hmm. but like there's a lot of care that's been put into this as well. So mm-hmm. not only is it a wine that like some of your friends that are into wine would appreciate, but then the further story of this wine, it'll also take it to a different level of appreciation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get a chance to taste it?
No, I'm gonna do that right now. Here we go. And also, I don't know if this is a thing, just as a general question, because I don't know what the term is where you tried to sip and get air at the same time. I didn't do that with the bubbly just because I didn't want to make it more bubbly, but I'm assuming this, I don't have the terms, Ferdy. I'm sorry.
You know, aerating your wine, you do that by twirling the glass.
Okay.
So as you twirl the glass, you're incorporating oxygen to the wine. Mm-hmm. What I actually like to do is I like to chew on it, like if I was eating it.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I like to chew on it a little bit. And by doing that, I'm really moving it from side to side of my mouth without having the action of swirling it, like if I was using mouthwash, which is sometimes you hear that they tell you like, oh, swirl it around your mouth like if you were using mouthwash, but that's very unnatural to me.
Yeah.
Chewing it, it's more of a gentle way of distributing the wine all over your palate or your gums, because we have different taste receptors scattered throughout our palate and our gums. That's how we perceive the levels of acidity, the sweetness, the bitterness of the wine. So the distributing it that way, it's almost like a more gentle way to tell your palate, like, what do you get from this? What do you get from this?
I like that. I'm gonna try this chewing method and see how this goes.
And as you do that, I'll tell you what I was feeling from this wine. I was tasting those fruits are really predominant on the palate. Like it almost feels like grated yellow apples, honey. So a nice mixture of that with the acidity that's high. So it makes you salivate. Like I'm actually salivating as I speak, ready for another sip or for a nice bite of food. Again, as I was saying before, the key of a wine that's very versatile is balance. Here, there's a very nicely balanced wine. Like the aromas from the barrel is very integrated with the fruit, so that creates a nice balance of fruity and buttery, vanilla-y in a way. The acid is medium. The alcohol levels are on the medium side as well. You know that this wine is crafted for you to enjoy with food, especially. The winemaker actually recommends this wine to be served at a lower temperature, so not too cold. Okay. And I tend to agree, like wines, especially if they're aged in oak, they tend to be very aromatic. So the colder temperature freezes those phenolics called esters. And you don't get to smell all of them. But when the wine is a little warmer, you get to experience all the flavors. And he recommends that with cheeses.
Oh, yeah, I could see this with cheese.
Especially like nutty cheeses like Gruyere or Asiago, if you like Italian cheeses, or Taleggio.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, the first thing I tasted with this wine was fruit. Like it's just very forward. And it's not too sweet. It's like, it is another, like it is sweeter for sure than like Brut would be, for instance, in this case, but like, it's a nice sweetness. Like it feels, it tasted like I just bit into a really juicy, flavorful apple at first. And then it just, it's this nice, like fruit experience. And then once you swallow and kind of the finish at the end is like this nice vanilla that comes out. It's like, it's giving you a lot of flavor without overpowering you. Like it definitely is more, I feel like it's more flavorful than some other wines I've had, but it's not taking away from the experience of the wine. Like,
exactly.
It's interesting how like it smells like that kind of like professional, kind of like more serious wine, but then you taste it and it's like, no, actually, when you get to know the wine, it's actually a lot more interesting and fun than you would think. It's a nice surprise. Like, it's definitely not a surprise I was expecting, because I was expecting it to be a little bit more of a serious taste, maybe a little bit more subdued, maybe tasting more like earthy tones, that kind of thing. But no, this is like very much fruit-driven wine that is really enjoyable. And yeah, and I feel like, you know, especially like with friends that like vegetarian dishes or fish dishes, that kind of thing, pescatarians, like this is a fantastic wine for that. And I would say like, yeah. And for the price point, this is a nice surprise. This is one that you would want to bring to someone that enjoys wine so that they could then tell their friends like, oh, look at this new wine I found, but really yeah, it was you.
I couldn't agree that brought more. You know, another reason for me to bring a wine like this is because I call this kind of wines bridges. And I'll tell you why. Let's say you're going to a party, you know that most of your friends are into old world wines, which tend to be more green, more acidic, more serious. Yeah. And then you have some friends that like new world wines, which come from warmer climates, are usually fruitier, they're usually higher in alcohol, they're a little bit more easy to drink, a little bit more easy in general.
Yeah.
This is that perfect wine that offers the best of both worlds. But there's also one more thing that I like about this wine. It's another bridge, is that let's say you have your friends that are into oaked Chardonnays, for example, and then you have your friends that are into Sauvignon Blanc. So more of a high acid, greener kind of grape, like a grape that is more of a just citrus, no oak, no vanilla kind of flavors. This wine has a little bit of oak. But then when you sip it, when you taste it, there's acid, there's citrus flavors, there's that green apple, there's that yellow apple. You do get the best of both worlds that way too. So really, like, if you're trying to please different palates at the same time, this is the kind of wine you want to bring.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, I feel like a lot of different types of people would enjoy this wine, like more than I would expect, because you know, not to repeat myself again, but it really did surprise me that the smell made it seem like this is a wine that you're going to have to enjoy. And then when you taste it, it's like, I am enjoying this way more than I ever thought. And it does, it like, I feel like for someone like me who's still getting to know wine and the wine world, this is one of those wines that's like, oh, I got to find this kind of wine again. Like this is the kind of experience I want to find again. Like this, where the previous, like the Brut is just like a fantastic wine in general. Like everybody's going to enjoy this wine. It gives a little bit more of an experience when you're drinking it than you would at least for me, in my experience with wines, like in other, compared to other wines. And so, yeah, a fantastic wine. And like really for not that much. I mean, I think it's listed on our site for, I think it's listed for about $21 or so. And that's well worth it. Well worth it for this kind of wine. Awesome. Well, we have one more wine to go over. And it's a red. We're going into the reds now. Because, you know, I'm going to say this, Ferdy, it seems like you're a professional. So I'm going to let you take over as far as what the name of the wine is.
Wait, I would like to hear you say it.
You want to hear me say it? All right, I will give it a go. You know what? That's fair. That's fair. I can't make you do all the work. I'm here as well.
I do have an accent, so I'd like to hear now somebody without an accent try to say something in Italian. So it's only fair.
Hey, you know what? That's very fair. All right. Everybody get ready for some SoCal boy to say the name of an Italian wine. So this is Strabio Ordante Organic Nero di Troia IGT from Italy in 2020.
You did it so much justice to this wine. So
Thank you.
You said it perfectly.
Oh, awesome. That's good. I'm glad.
It perfectly. So it's Strabiordante Nero di Troia.
I
say it with more of an Italian flair.
You know what? I gotta get that flair down. If I'm gonna keep doing this, I gotta practice that flair. But I appreciate that. I appreciate the encouragement.
If you at home have the bottle next to you, you could see that it says Strabiordante, which is the name of the wine, and the word bio is in green. Because that's in Italy, foods that are labeled as bio is biologically safe. Like basically it tells you that the food is organic.
Right. Okay.
So that's bio foods are, it's organic. Bio foods are organic foods in Italian. They did this play on words on the Strabiordante by using bio, and Nero di Troia is the name of the grape.
Gotcha.
I picked this wine because first and foremost, I love a red wine in a clear bottle.
Yeah, that is fun.
Already for me, it's a sign of transparency. I'm obsessed with wine colors. As a sommelier, I could tell you a lot about a wine just by looking at its color. So having a wine in a clear bottle, I know that people at home are probably thinking, wow, a wine in a clear bottle is not a wine that's meant to be aging, because the light could affect the wine, basically. Like you want to put wines in a colored gray glass, so then it protects it from the UVA rights of the sunlight. But this is not a wine that's meant to be aged. This is a wine that's meant to be consumed young, fresh, and vibrant. And it's great to see its color. So I love the clear bottle for that reason. I'm from Southern Italy. So for me, picking a Southern Italian grape is a no-brainer. But I love this because when I saw that we had it at Wine Insiders, I was like, oh my goodness, this is a hard wine to find in Italy too.
Okay.
You don't find a lot of Nero di Troia. So let's put it this way. If you live in Southern Italy, mm-hmm. you could find Nero di Troia. If you live in Puglia, where this wine is from, you'll find Nero di Troia. If you live up north, cities like Milan or Turin or Florence, it will be hard for you to find Nero di Troia. There's not that much. It only grows in northern Puglia. So okay. Where we are with this wine, we are at the hill of the boot.
Gotcha.
Puglia is a beautiful region. So by the way, if you're looking... Not only if you're looking for gifts for the holiday season, if you're looking for a destination for you to discover a part of Italy that is beautiful, like they have a beautiful coastline, they have amazing cuisine, awesome people, great history, Puglia is definitely the place to go. This grape, Nero di Troia, grows in northern Puglia. What I love about it is that, so Nero di Troia means the black grape from Troy.
Ooh.
Now, we don't know exactly how this grape came to be planted in Puglia, because it is considered a native grape because it only grows there. But legends come from the name. And the legend here is awesome. So basically, what Italians believe is that Diomedes, who's a mythological Greek figure, he was one of the heroes in the legendary Battle of Troy. after the fall of Troy, and he was a Greek warrior, he was forced to exile and he moved to Italy, where he colonized and made different cities who take names from Greek cities in Italy. So, and he is said to have brought this vine with him. So that's why it's the black grape from Troy.
Okay. Oh, wow.
We know for certain, though, that this grape was there at the, you know, at the time that the Greeks colonized Puglia, which is the 12th century BC.
Oh, wow.
So a very long time ago. So we have traces of winemaking in this area that are at least 4,000 years old.
Man, that's wild.
Just to put it into perspective. That's the true definition of old world wine is what you have in your glass right now. Like wines that have been made in the same place for that long. I love this grape. First and foremost, it reminds me of home. It smells like those rustic red wines that only Italian wines express, like that sense of drink me next to food. Mm. I have everything you need to be consumed next to food. When I smell it, it reminds me, it smells like black cherries and plums and violet and a little bit of licorice. There's cedar wood, sandalwood, nicely aromatic, tomato leaf. It smells like a nicely made tomato sauce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see that. Yeah. It's definitely bold. It's like a bolder, smell. It's there to tell you something. It's there to have a conversation with you. This is definitely a wine that's more involved.
Then in the taste, beautifully made wine. You could taste the complexity already.
Oh yeah.
You know that the fruit really picks apart on your palate. Like you really smell the cherries, the plum, the licorice, the secondary aromas, like it's a little herbaceous. There's definitely cooking herbs. Like there's a little bit of sage. There's some basil there. Do you get the tannins?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's great acidity. It is screaming for a bite of food. I wish right now I had a sandwich next to this. I'll be very happy. But think about the holiday, your holiday meal. This is one of those, this is one of those times in of the year that you have a plate that's filled with so many different flavors. Like this is what we do. Like especially in the States, like you have everything is on the table. You pile up your plate. Now find a wine that could really bring harmony to all these flavors. And this is that kind of wine. Like the fruit is tart. It's not too sweet. The tannins, they're there, but they're not too aggressive. So for dishes that are not too chewy, like for example, like this could go well with your turkey, with your hams. If you're a vegetarian, this goes well with eggplant, with your veggie lasagna, with your impossible burgers. It goes well with dessert or appetizers. It's that glass of wine that you could just have throughout your entire dinner.
Yeah, the amount, I will say, like, it is a wonderfully complex wine. There are a lot of different flavors because I was getting like basil at some point and tomato as well, which is unusual because I wouldn't necessarily say like, oh, this is what you're going to like taste in a wine. You know, but it works really well because you also have like the blackberry coming out and like, you know, like the tannins and then coming in, you know, as you're drinking the wine, this is a cool wine. This is a different, unique wine. And I could imagine having this, like even like with some red meats, that kind of thing. But I mean, like, yeah, I know it's an Italian wine, but I definitely was thinking like pasta dishes and that kind of thing. Like it would go so well with that. Like it would pair so well. There's a nice complexity to it that allows you to kind of really enjoy the wine itself and kind of figure out what you're tasting. And like, I feel like everybody would taste something a little bit different from this wine. Mm-hmm. And then of course, having it with food would be great. Like this is the kind of wine that I would want to have if I was doing a quiet New Year's Eve, where it's like, you made like a really nice dinner for people, like, mm-hmm. or even a quiet Christmas Eve or whatever Eve you may have. And you've made like a really nice meal, like handmade, like from scratch, and you want to give it a wine that's going to give something extra to the food that you're having, while at the same time standing out on its own. This is the wine that I would pick for that, for sure. This is cool. This is a very different wine. And especially with the story, like there's so much history to this grape as well.
We're crossing into Greek mythology here. Like there's a speaking of material and tidbits for you to just bring up conversation. What I love about what we're doing right now is that I always like to pick wines that have, you know, the first thing I do when I pick a wine, I taste the wine, obviously. I make sure that the wine is sound, the wine is interesting, is made true to its varietal or the blend. Or does it remind me of the place where it comes from? Like, even if I haven't been, for example, I never been to South Africa, but this wine, the one that we tasted before, with the flintiness, the minerality, that kind of evokes those scenarios. Like, it really speaks to its terroir. But when it comes to an Italian wine, which I'm very familiar with, does it remind me of a place? That's the first thing I think of. And then who makes the wine? It's important. And a story behind the wine, because I'm the kind of person that if we're having dinner together, I love to talk about food and I love to talk about wine. And yeah. Funny enough, as I was researching about this kind of things, I discovered that back in ancient Greek and Roman times, this was a very specific practice called a symposium in Greek and a convivium in Roman, which is basically a gathering of people in which all they do is eat and drink and talk about what they're eating and what they're drinking.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
So for me, every time I'm tasting wines with friends, I feel like we are carrying on this thousands of year old tradition of discussing something as pleasurable as drink and food can be together. So you have to pick a wine with a good story.
Yeah.
So this wines for me have a good story that you could tell your friends and family. You could be the sommelier of the night. You could talk about the wine. Yeah. You could tell the story. Like, you could be like, oh, Diomedes in the 12th century BC was exiled from Troy and brought the vines to Puglia, and that's where he planted them. And the wine is prosperous only in this little area of southern Italy, and you won't find it anywhere else. Like, that's exactly what you have to do as the person that brought the wine. You need to tell the story.
Absolutely. And what's fun too, like you were saying earlier, it is a clear bottle, so it makes it stand out. And the labeling is also kind of fun too. It looks like hand-drawn almost, just the name of it on the front. And so it gives it kind of a fun, unique look to it as well. So as you're presenting the wine, not only do you have the story and everything, but you've got this, the wine is almost your co-host. It's almost backing you up with the way it looks like in the bottle and everything. So this is definitely a unique wine. Like, this is something that if you want to have a unique experience with friends and family or yourself, no judgment. If you want to have your own unique experience, great wine for that. This is a fantastically complex wine from somewhere that is very unique and has a very unique grape to it, which is great. That's really awesome.
This is also the kind of red that you could give a slight chill to.
Oh yeah, I could see that. Yeah, absolutely.
It's lighter and higher acid. So if you give it a nice chill, you will feel the tannins a little bit more, because once the fruit aromas are a little bit more subdued by the cooling effect, then the the tannins are going to be a little bit more predominant. So it will give this wine a crunchy texture, which I actually suggest you chill the wine. And then as you progress through your dinner, you taste it as it comes down to a room temp and see the differences. So it's a very fun wine. It could take you along a whole journey of tasting experience.
I like that a lot. That's some great advice. That's a fun thing to do. Awesome. Well, unfortunately, we're out of wine, which is always sad, but it happens. Uh-huh. It happens. You know, it happens to all of us. First of all, I just want to thank Ferdy for picking these wines and also talking about them, because they're all great and they all show something different about what wine can do.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a fun time. I'm always happy to share my the little bit I know about wine with you at Sip, Sniff, Repeat, and with our listeners. Feel free to always reach out to me for any questions. You can find me on Instagram at Wine Time with Ferdy, or you can reach out to our Instagram page at Sip, Sniff, Repeat. I will always be happy to answer your questions.
I was going to say, that's even something I have a hard time saying over and over again. But yes,
I always get them wrong. I always invert them. It's Sip, Repeat, and Sniff. Like, it's always like that.
No, I feel that for sure. Yeah. Sniff, Sip, Repeat is something that before recording, I have to say a couple times, but it is true. That is the way to do it. That is the way to enjoy wine. Also the name of the podcast, but you know, it's also the way to enjoy wine. But yeah, please do reach out to Ferdy with any questions and then reach out to us as well. If you're listening to this, we have a special promotion going right now. The code we have is GIFT40, and that's a capital G like golf, GIFT40, and you get 40% off store wide and 2 gift bags, which is pretty great. So all these wines, which, you know, are really great for the price, now you can even save 40% off them. So if you're looking for a great deal, a great wine, please check out some of these wines, whether you're buying for yourself or others. So once again, that code is GIFT40, capital G-I-F-T 40, to save 40% off store-wide and also 2 gift bags as well. And we just hope that you have a happy holidays. Whatever you're celebrating, whatever you're doing, we hope that you're doing well. Hope that you're taking care of yourself. And of course, we hope you're drinking wine. I think that's the number one important thing.
Happy holidays. Buona festa. Have a great time.
Yes, please. All right. Thanks, everyone.